Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed. Grim, are you murdering puppets again?
No, I... Oh, come on! That movie's bullshit! Fine, I guess we'll just do a fucking episode.
This is why I didn't want you to buy the special edition of Lies of P, because I knew you would be playing it instead of recording.
I'm Grim.
I think I'm Zolgar.
Kaiju just ran away because I got angry at a boss.
Poor Kaiju.
So unloved. So neglected. So a boost.
Anyways, just a quick warning. This is an uncensored podcast. You may hear adult language or other content not suited for children, the workplace, or, frankly, human consumption.
This week, our topic is... The fandom is wrong.
The fandom is wrong.
Not that kind of wrong. Well, I mean, yes, also that kind of wrong, but that's not what we're talking about today. Also, I think this one was mine.
Yes, this one was your idea.
However, if you have an idea for a topic for us, you can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote in the topic poll on Discord, which we need to start doing again.
Yeah, but I don't have the time. Too much going on. Too many responsibilities.
Well, just stop being a doll. Just get a Binky, apple slice, juice box, take a nap.
Well, what we need is some wealthy philanthropist to decide they love our podcast and want to sponsor us so that we don't have to work anymore.
Or at least start making enough money to hire some crew.
Or make enough money to make this a part-time job for me so I can do this and work part-time and be good.
Or something.
Anyways,
stand back, because the idiots have been unleashed for a while now. In case that rambling tirade of ours was not enough of a clue. So real quick, I want to give a shout out to James Stephanie Sterling over at the Jimquisition, because the very phrasing of the title for this comes from something they've said before, which is, of course, that the fandom is wrong.
And with that quick shout out, I'm also going to give a quick possible apology because I am having massive coughing fits. I will try to edit any that happen out, but depending on where they happen, there may still be some background noise from it. Because some of them, Grim's mic is picking up across the house.
This is true. When these fits happen, I will attempt to stop and then reiterate my point, but there may come a point where I can't, so consider this our apology in advance. Behold the suffering we go through to entertain you with our feeble little opinions and silly jackassery.
So, anyways, the fandom is wrong.
What do we mean by that? Well, basically, you're all idiots.
And we should know, we're professional idiots.
We're going to start off with the very obvious stuff, the stuff that I think most of us who are at least adjacent to being sane and rational can agree upon. Namely, hey, sending death threats to voice actors and creators and anybody involved in the creation process is bad, okay?
That includes people in the creation process who are not good people. For example, there's the bullshit going on with Unity right now. This is bullshit. The people in charge of Unity who have been doing this are terrible people and need to face consequences for what they're doing. However, sending them death threats is still bullshit and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, like I've made some comments among friends, but I would never send them actual death threats. And by the way, those comments I've made among friends are purely exaggeration for the sake of catharsis and stress relief. I would never actually wish these people harm, even though I hate them on a primal level.
I mean, we might wish that they, stub their toe, and then it's just like when it's right on the edge of being healed, stub it again for all eternity?
Or maybe step on Lego from time to time. But nothing like what's been happening. It's bad. Like, don't get me wrong, we could actually probably do an entire episode on the Unity kerfluffle and the outlying fuckery in both the games industry and the fandom in general, but we don't need to. There are plenty of people already doing that.
Speaking of James Stephanie Sterling, I'm looking forward to the Jimquisition episode on this.
That said, yeah, even the bad people, like, I hate Bobby Kotick. That is no secret. That is the CEO of Activision Blizzard and all around a generally garbage human being. I still would not send him death threats and do not condone sending him death threats, even though he's not a good person.
I'll go a step further. I would not send death threats nor condone sending the death threats to J.K. Rowling, even though I have very strong opinions about her.
I've had some choice, colorful comments about her, but yeah. No, I don't think anybody should send her death threats. I don't think anybody should actively try to do her harm. I just wish that she would, you know, stop doing the things she's doing to make us unhappy with her. Again, this should be the obvious stuff. And yet, for some reason, here we are, 2023.
I want to bring up a very specific example. I don't remember the actress's name, but look at the actress that played Rose in the Star Wars sequel trilogy.
Yeah, I believe it's Kelly Marie Tran.
That sounds right. My opinions of the character aside, I understand people not liking that character. I think that character was very poorly utilized. The actress is not responsible for the character. The actress was just a person doing their job. That's all it was. And she got so bullied from her portrayal of that character that she basically cut off social media entirely.
Yeah, it's not okay at all. And consider this foreshadowing, because we are not done with the Star Wars fandom. We will be coming back. There's one I want to touch on as well, one very specific one. And for this, we're going to step back over to the gaming side of things. There is this very popular franchise called The Last of Us. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Nah, sounds fake.
Well, in the second installment, something happens, and that something is considered a bad thing to most of the fandom. Never mind the fact that the entire point of Last of Us is how nothing's really good or bad. It's just a matter of cycles and breaking them or not. But that's neither here nor there. So the character is Abby, voiced by Laura Bailey. Laura Bailey is a prominent voice actress who has been working for, well, this woman voiced my childhood. So, you know, she'd been in the business for a while. She's very well known over in Critical Role. And all in all, very talented, wonderful human being by all accounts. Because she portrayed this character, she got death threats over social media, which is, of course, as we've already stated, not okay. But no, you fucking troglodytes took it a step further and threatened her child. What the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you? Go stand in the corner, nose touching. Think about what you've done.
Now, I will say I would hope that our audience doesn't include anyone who made such threats.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you threaten a child over a fictional piece of media, get the fuck out of here. We don't want you.
Yeah. Because a person who's going to do something like that is probably not the kind of person who would stay listening to this podcast after all of the opinions we've espoused.
I would hope so. I hope those people hate us. I hope those people despise our existence. Keep hating me. It makes me stronger.
I hope they hate our existence so much that they post about how much they hate our existence so we get more media traffic. Because there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Do death threats count as engagement?
Sure.
That was a joke. For the record, that was a joke. Death threats are still bad. Admittedly, it was a little bit of a dark joke, but this is not an isolated incident. These are just two examples, two very prominent examples. Go digging. You're going to find this all over. And why? I don't get it. I've had characters I love done dirty by the writing team and directing teams. I've never once thought I should kill someone about this or make someone think I want to kill someone about this. And if you knew me as a personal level, you would understand just how impressive that is.
Yeah, you wish death on people over the minorest things. Someone driving like an idiot, you're like, I want to kill them with my brain.
Yeah, but it's, again, that's idle catharsis. I would never actually act on any of that or say it to their face. Like, it's one thing to espouse something in private in a way to vent the emotion. It's another thing to take it to them and make it their problem. Like, when it's my problem, it's my problem. Making it someone else's problem is not okay. And I think that's kind of going to be a recurring theme in this episode. Yeah. So this is, of course, we're starting with the more extreme stuff because, you know us, we like to tend to front load the horrible stuff and then get to, well, in the case of this episode, slightly less horrible stuff. Like, when we've done films, we've extolled the problematic elements ahead of time so that we can get to the, you know, and focus on other stuff later. And that's kind of what we're doing here with this focus on the extremes of negative fan behavior. But the extremes are not the limits of toxic fandom. And that's really what this episode is all about. Media tends to have passionate fans. And passion in and of itself is a good thing. It really is.
I mean, we're sitting here in doing a media podcast, and we get very passionate about our media sometimes.
We do. We do. You and I have had to stop conversations over our differing media opinions and come back to them when we're both feeling more adult. But we recognize when we're hitting that limit usually and act accordingly. A lot of people do not and should. There are a lot of people, a lot of fans who will hit social media and just kind of keep going long after they should have stopped and put down their phone.
That's a problem with social media in general as well. And I mean, that would be its whole own issue episode, but
yeah.
But in general, the anonymity of social media is part of what makes people so much more willing to be that person.
Relative anonymity plus unprecedented 24/7 access to creators and creative types.
Yeah. I was actually talking to my mom earlier, and I mentioned parasocial relationships and then had to explain them to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're so much more common now than they used to be because of social media. You know, when I can just hop on Twitter, sorry, X.
I refuse to call it that.
Engage with Mark Hamill's posts or with Gail Simone's posts or whoever else. It creates this sense of connection to them that is complete and utter bullshit, and I recognize that at least, but that also does lend itself to the other side of that, which is, of course, the problematic behaviors.
Yeah. These problematic behaviors are not limited to social media. They're just enabled by social media. I think that's the way to put it.
They are magnified by social media.
Yeah. You see this behavior at fan cons. I grew up going to sci-fi fantasy conventions, and some of the behavior I saw in person was appalling, for I was young enough that I didn't quite process all was happening. But now that I'm an adult, I can look back at some of the interactions I walked past or overheard, and I can just properly horrified. So all social media has really done at this point, as you said, is magnified it and amplified it and basically made it so that these fan events and fan access are not limited time.
Yeah. We have practically 24/7 access to any celebrity who is on social media.
And it doesn't even need to be huge celebrities. There are a number of what one would consider smaller time streamers, primarily on Twitch, who I follow. And that's where you really got to be careful, because those smaller communities, it gets so easy to develop that parasocial relationship because you're interacting with that person directly on a stream. But you have to remember, you are still their audience and they are still performing for you. There's still a boundary there that needs to be respected. And I see many people who either don't respect that boundary. Okay, so I'm not going to name names, mostly because I haven't gotten permission to do so. There's a streamer I follow who got a key for Starfield. And for the smaller streamers, getting a big AAA key like that to promote the game is huge, right? That's like a milestone just about, right?
Yeah. When you hit the point where a AAA company is like, hey, we like what you do, promote us, that means you've hit it big.
Yeah. And while I don't know if it was as specific as that or as just them handing a bunch of keys to, say, Twitch and being like, hey, hand this out to people. Either way, regardless of how the process works, that's still a big deal. And immediately somebody came in and brought up a problematic thing associated with ZeniMax and Bethesda, who are, of course, the companies behind Starfield, along with Microsoft, and started immediately laying into them about how it was, don't you think it's inappropriate to promote this game, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, who the fuck are you? Like, don't you think it's inappropriate to be coming into a streamer space and immediately opening with that? Like, boundaries, man. And sure, the thing they were bringing up is horrible. I'm not going to bother getting into the details of it here, but suffice to say it involved a portion of the company mistreating one of their employees in a way that's pretty upsetting to me. But just like here right now, in that streamer's stream chat is not the time or the place to get into it.
Yeah. There is a time and place to discuss these things. And I could even understand privately messaging the streamer and being like, hey, are you aware of this? And are you comfortable promoting the company that did this? It's making sure they know and giving them the choice, but you also then don't badger and berate them based on their choice.
Yeah. There are many boundaries and matters of etiquette that a lot of fandom seems to have either forgotten or just never acknowledged to begin with.
Well, let's be honest here for just a second. Nerds, in general, are really bad with etiquette.
Yeah.
And I include myself in that, by the way.
Dude, it's taken me how long to, you know, be at least adjacent to socially acceptable?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm working at a disadvantage multiple times over. I'm neurodivergent. I'm introverted. I don't go out much, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's still a certain level of decorum that even I look at and go, yeah, no, we should respect this. We're focusing on a lot of the social media aspects here. But that's mostly because it's the primary form of communication between fans these days, as well as fans and creators. So I don't want anybody to think that we're like just harshing on social media. It's just that, as we said, social media is a magnifier.
You go back in time to the pre-internet days and celebrities got death threats in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that a lot of celebrities used P.O. boxes and a lot of times also had someone else deal with their mail.
Yeah. These are not new, but they are becoming more readily apparent, again, largely because of social media being a magnifier. And to be clear, it's not just a magnifier for negative behaviors. Social media is a magnifier in general for all social interaction. But we are, of course, in this episode focusing on the negative behavior because it needs to stop.
Yeah. Like I said, I can get on Twitter and I can talk to Gail Simone. And, you know, most of the time it's just me talking at her. But there is actually occasional actual interaction. And that kind of accessibility to our creators is an amazing thing for both the creators who want it, important caveat there, and the fans.
Yeah. I am primarily on Tumblr because it's a more easily manageable social media. I very much like to curate my experience in social media, or I will lose my goddamn mind.
Too late.
You'd think so. There are depths we can still go. Let's not. But I follow Gaslam on there, although she's not on there very often these days. I follow Will Wheaton, who is very prolific on Tumblr. I follow Neil Gaiman, who is also very prolific on Tumblr. Shauna McGuire, I follow her as well as some other smaller creators and streamers and so on and so forth. Some of the few times they let you glimpse behind the curtain to see just how awful some of the people they deal with are is appalling. And it's not just like death threats or whatever, but it's lack of a respect of boundaries. Like, I will say in the case of Shannon McGuire, she is absolutely ready to reinforce her boundaries, and I respect the hell out of her for it. But she shouldn't have to. Once the boundary is set and is publicly known, she shouldn't have to keep doing that. Will Wheaton is a popular target for getting dogpiled because he is a comfortable middle-aged white man, which means he makes mistakes in all of the areas that someone from that demographic will make those mistakes in. However, he also is the first to apologize and promise to try to do better. So, like, I have watched people just dogpile him for making those mistakes because he's a minor celebrity. Sorry, Will. I don't know how else to put it. Really, he's a fantastic human being, in my opinion, though. Not that I expect he'll ever listen to this, but just in case, sorry, Will. And it's just appalling the behavior that, and the way people think that they can just go up to these people just because they happen to be on social media, or let's pretend social media doesn't exist. You bump into Neil Gaiman in the grocery store and you think you're entitled to just say whatever you want because you just happen to get access to him for this moment. No, no. There's a prominent author that I actually played an MMO with. I figured out it was him, and I said nothing. Dude was there to play a game. I wasn't about to make that awkward or take that away from him. When it comes to interaction with creators specifically, because there's a lot more fandom behavior we need to get to, and we've been on this kick for a while, so I'm gonna wrap up this part, if that's okay.
Never.
But when it comes to interacting with creators, whether it's writers, directors, actors, musicians, whatever.
Streamers.
Your friend who makes TikToks. Like, there is this prevailing problem where we seem as fans to have forgotten that they are fucking people.
No, they're not. They're not people. They're just AIs that exist purely to entertain us.
At the rate Hollywood is going, that's going to be true in like 10, 20 years. Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. That's a whole different topic. That is, maybe that's one we should put on the fucking list.
AI and entertainment?
Yeah. Hey, Star Wars fans, remember I said I was going to come back around to you? Guess what? It's your turn again. So, back in the late 70s and early 80s, a phenomenal little sci-fi trilogy came out called Star Wars.
Never heard of it. Sounds terrible.
And it got a following, and then just the right level of media alchemy happened for it to explode into a major fandom.
Still one of the largest fandoms that exists.
Yeah. And with that size and age comes a higher instance of negative fan behavior. And I want to point out that these behaviors I'm about to go over are not exclusive to the Star Wars fandom, but they are the most prevalent fandom that practices these behaviors. So I'm going to call them out a little bit.
And it's also important to note that these are not exclusive to older fans or younger fans or fans of the original or anything like that. These behaviors can be true of any fan in any fandom.
Correct. So we had the original trilogy, and the original trilogy was good. It wasn't perfect. No media is perfect. Kill that idea right now. No media will ever be perfect. Period.
Except this podcast. This podcast is perfect.
Did you get into the mushrooms again? All right. So what are some of these behaviors? Well, there's one in particular And it can best be summed up as the fans are never happy. The original trilogy came out and it was good. Built a fan base. We're going to pretend that the Christmas special never happened. And then in the 90s, George went, hey, you know, I think I've got more story to tell. And he put together the prequel trilogy. Now, I'm not going to pretend the prequel trilogy was without fault. There were problems, TM.
We could do an entire episode on just the problems in the prequel trilogy if we wanted.
We could. We probably won't, but we could. And there was a significant portion of the fan base in the 90s that spent no small amount of time and energy berating every tiny flaw. Now, some of the flaws in the prequel trilogy needs to be discussed at some point by someone somewhere. Stereotyping, casual racism, a few other things. But that's not the real focus of this episode. And it wasn't the real focus of the, if I'm going to be generous, the critiques of the fandom. If you want to know how bad these critiques got, the guy that played Kid Anakin quit acting and his life spiraled out of control. Because you fuckers bullied him that much. A child.
And the guy that played Anakin as a teenager and young adult also got horribly abused and bullied to the point where it fucked with his career.
As an aside, getting to watch him come back for like Obi-Wan has been a genuine treat for the record. I'm so glad he was willing to come back, and I'm so glad they gave him the opportunity to do so. Fast forward, the mouse now owns Star Wars and says, hey, we're going to make some more movies. And some of these movies were standalone, and they were fantastic. Rogue One was fantastic. Solo had its flaws, but was also very entertaining and, in my opinion, well done. And we also got three new proper numbered Star Wars entries. And history repeated itself. Now, those sequels got problems. We've kind of made comments here and there throughout various episodes of the podcast about our opinion on some of these problems. But at the end of the day, remember, there is no perfect media. Everything has problems. Boy howdy, did a large section of the fan base once again rise up to announce those problems in probably the most annoying way possible.
Yeah, and once again, they took those problems out on the actors.
Actors, other creative types. But they didn't just do that. They went into other fandom spaces where people who liked these new movies, or at least found elements of them to be enjoyable, and attempted to drown these people out with their denunciation of these sequel movies. And then the funniest thing happened. Now, all of a sudden, the prequel trilogy wasn't that bad, and certainly nothing like the sequel trilogy. And this is exactly where we're getting to the crux of what I dubbed this. The fandom is never happy.
And there's a adjacent element to the fandom never being happy, which is, and this one's less to do with toxic fandom, but people get toxic about it. One of the problems that people had with the prequel trilogy, and this is true across all forms of long-running franchise media. We're just talking Star Wars here because it's the biggest example that's easiest to point out, is the prequel trilogy deviated too much from Star Wars. Well, then, along comes the sequel trilogy, and especially The Force Awakens. I mean, The Force Awakens was almost a shot-for-shot remake of A New Hope.
It definitely hit some of the same beats.
Yeah. People were like, oh, this is just A New Hope rehashed, blah, blah, blah. And overall, the sequel trilogy hits the same general beats as the original trilogy in terms of its style of storytelling. And people were like, oh, this is just a poor redoing of the original. So once again, the fandom is never happy. And they can't be civil in their expression of what makes them unhappy.
Yeah, it's a recurring issue. And like I said, this is multiple fandoms. We're just kind of picking on Star Wars a little bit because it's one of the few franchises that is long lasting enough that we can actually have multiple trilogies like this and break down how this cycle keeps repeating whenever new entries into a franchise happens.
You know, there's actually another one that's related to this that's very big in Star Wars, also shows up in Star Trek. But one of the places that it shows up a lot and that you wouldn't expect is Doctor Who. And that is, I'm a true fan.
Oh, the true fan, TM. Ugh.
What I mean by that is, you know, with Star Wars, it's like, oh, well, I started with the originals. Okay, that's all well and good. I'm glad. That doesn't make you any more of a fan than I am. Okay, I did start with the originals, but I wasn't alive when the originals released. Or in Doctor Who. What's always really funny is you'll get someone like, oh, well, I started with Eccleston to kind of hold themselves over like the Matt Smiths or whatever. And then someone else will have, of course, come along and be like, oh, yeah, well, I started with, oh, God damn it, I forgot the name of the actor who played the first Doctor.
Before my time.
Oh, way before my time, but I used to know it. You know, or they'd be like, oh, well, I started with the fifth Doctor or whatever. So it's like, oh, well, I'm a true fan. No, no, you're not. No true fan fucking gatekeeps.
I'm just going to dispel this right now. I'm going to go ahead and give you all just a little bit of a heads up here. Hey, do you watch or play or read or partake of a piece of media? Congratulations, you're a true fan. That's the bar. Seriously, that's it. That's the bar.
Yeah, and it's one thing to joke around about it. I will joke with my friends that, you know, they started with Fallout 3. I will joke with them that they're not Fallout fans because, you know, they haven't played 1 and 2. But first of all, it's a joke. Second of all, they know it's a joke. And third of all, it's people that I am directly connected to who, if it bothers them, can go, hey, knock that shit off.
And then we knock that shit off. I will joke that I'm the one true Zelda fan because I grew up literally with the franchise. I am exactly 1 year, almost not quite to the day, but I am 1 year older than the Legend of Zelda franchise. I was born in 85. It released in 86. It's a joke. If you're a fan of Zelda, you're a true fan. That's it. That's the bar.
Doesn't matter if you started with the original Legend of Zelda or Link to the Past on the SNES or Ocarina of Time on the N64, or if your first Zelda game was Tears of the Kingdom on the Switch.
Although you really should have played Breath of the Wild first, but that doesn't make you not a fan. It just makes you missing some story and context. Anyway, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom was your first Zelda game and you really like it. Congratulations, you're a true Zelda fan, TM. That's it. That's the bar.
Well, what if their introduction to a media was like an offshoot of it? Like, you know, what if their introduction to Star Wars was, I don't know, the Dark Forces video game?
Congratulations. You're a Star Wars fan, which, by the way, is getting a remaster, and I'm excited.
Sorry, this is a slight derailment, but did you hear that the old Sega Genesis Gargoyles video game is getting a remaster?
Uh-huh. I am so happy.
Did you see that they're releasing a special edition with a Genesis cartridge?
I did not. That is awesome.
Okay. Back on track.
Oh, but you know there's going to be some fan who's going to be like, well, it's not the true experience. This is the problem. The fandom is never happy.
If you enjoy a media, a type of media, you're a fan of that media. You don't have to know everything about it to be a fan of it. You don't have to have consumed every single piece of media of it, or even every single mainline piece of media of it, to call yourself a fan.
By the way, this goes for everyone regardless of gender, orientation, or creed, because being a fan doesn't matter or pertain to what is in your pants. In other words, all of you fuckers sitting there constantly grilling women or saying that queer people and trans people aren't can't be true fans, fuck you. The fucking classic trope of the fucking guy in the comic shop drilling the girl perusing the Marvel stacks. No, this stops. It needs to stop.
And if you don't think that happens, it does.
I've watched it happen in real time, both in person and on social media.
And didn't it happen to one of the writers of Deadpool?
Oh, people try to mansplain Deadpool to Gail Simone all the time, and it's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, she fucking wrote some of that shit, bro.
You know what? That's actually a good segue for the fandom being wrong.
Yeah?
Mansplaining.
Stop it. Just don't do it.
I get it. I absolutely get it. You're excited about something, and you're excited to find somebody of the opposite sex who likes the same thing you like. I get it. I understand. But you're not doing yourself any favors, and you're definitely not doing her any favors if you sit there and try to explain it to her. If you encounter a woman who enjoys the same media you do, engage her in a conversation about that media. And remember, a conversation goes two ways. It's not you sitting there going, blah, blah, blah.
Ask her opinions. Ask her about, you know, some of the popular fan theories for whatever fandom it may be. You know, engage her in the conversation. I do want to make a quick aside here. So it's no secret, I am on the spectrum. I want to point out there is a difference between autistic info dumping and mansplaining. Info dumping, we are excited to share what we know with you. Mansplaining tends to come more from a place of, I know more than you.
That being said, from an outside perspective, it's a lot harder to tell.
It is, but they are different.
But so, you know, if you are someone who is on the spectrum, try to rein in the info dumping until you have at least gotten the groundwork of the conversation out of the way. So this person you're talking to knows you're not sitting there trying to school her on her favorite media.
Yeah, it's a delicate balancing act. That said, being autistic is not an excuse to mansplain either. Like I said, they are different.
In general, being autistic is not an excuse to be a dickbag.
That's right. It's not an excuse. I'm just an asshole anyway.
And there are too many people, especially in fandom circles, who basically, whenever they're called out just on problematic behaviors, just go, well, I'm autistic.
Okay, that's nice. So am I. I'm still to be held accountable for my behaviors.
You're autistic, but you're also an asshole.
Yes, I am. I think I already said that. So, and this goes for any kind of behavioral deviance, you know, any kind of neurodivergency, whether it's ADHD, autism, whatever. Like, there are all sorts of mental and physical health conditions that can affect your behavior, but it does not become an excuse for that behavior. Yeah, there have been times where I've been that guy.
So have I.
Oh, God. I want to strangle my teenage self so bad. Ugh. I look back and I just go, argh.
I mean, I want to strangle your current self, so. Wait, no, wait. Death threats are bad.
Death threats are bad, but I'm still going to send a death threat to my younger self. No. Oh, God. You know, here's the problem. We're going to invent time travel, and that's what people are going to do. They're going to send death threats to their younger selves because we're just that stupid as a species. I don't know who the fuck this guy is, but he keeps sending me death threats, and I just don't know what to do.
You're going to die someday. I'm going to kill you.
You know, if you send death threats to your past self, is that a suicide note?
Don't know. I think people smarter than us may need to figure that one out. But yeah, getting back on topic, like, I've been that guy. I don't want to be that guy, but I've been that guy.
And you will be that guy again.
Whether I want to or not.
Because we're human, unfortunately. We make mistakes.
Which I think is a great segue to yet another fan behavior that I think we need to call out here.
Admit when you're wrong.
No, I'm never wrong.
You're always wrong.
Yeah, well, your face is wrong.
Yeah, well, your mom is wrong.
Yeah, well, your face's mom is wrong.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's because it's wrong.
Just like your face.
The fuck is wrong with us?
Oh, we don't got that kind of time.
Yeah, admit when you're wrong. Admittedly, this is something I still struggle with.
Yes, yes, you do.
And so do you.
No, because I'm never wrong.
I'm going to stab you. Wait, death threats are bad. No. Okay, so seriously, though, like, this is a thing that it's very easy to struggle with and very easy to get caught up in, because we are inherently biased as a species. Like, that's just how our psychology works. Once we have developed a bias, we will forever be beholden to that bias unless we seriously actually examine it. And guess what people don't want to do? This can be in all walks of life, professionally, politically, personal relationships, what have you. But we're going to focus on how it happens and how it is manifests in fandom. Now, one of my favorite things to do in fandom is to discuss theories and go beyond what's shown either in the text or on screen to examine potential possibilities for the larger meta narrative of a given work. I'm a storyteller. I've said that before. The story of a thing is what I'm interested in, which includes the lore and world building surrounding it for that story to take place. I have been wrong about things. I have been very wrong about things. And there have been times where I have not been able to accept that I was wrong about a thing until very blatantly having the evidence shoved in my face. It's a behavior that we all need to work on, honestly. We need to be able to admit when we're wrong. I have had to correct other people in fandoms. I have been corrected by other people in fandoms. We should not be viewing these corrections as personal attacks, though if you are phrasing your correction of a fellow fan as a personal attack, you are also being an asshole and should stop that.
Your theory is stupid and you're wrong and you're an idiot.
I mean, yes, but what about it? But no, seriously, I have seen some well-phrased corrections and some very poorly phrased corrections, and I have seen some positive reactions to those corrections and some extremely negative reactions to those corrections. And both sides of that, like, the exchange of ideas is part of being in a fandom. Hell, it's part of being human. And we need to be better able to accept that, hey, sometimes the data set we're working from is flawed.
Not me. My data is always accurate.
Uh-huh.
I'm always right. The world just hasn't gotten up yet.
Right. Mushrooms again? At the end of the day, there is a lot of toxic fandom behavior that needs to be put out to pasture. If we got into all of it, we would be here for probably 3 more hours easy.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even realize we were approaching the hour mark before editing, so.
Yeah. So I'm going to close this out with apologies to Will Wheaton. I'm going to steal his rule. Don't be a dick.
Unless your name is Richard and you like to go by Dick, then be a dick all you want.
Just not be a dick to other people. You can be dick. Just don't be a dick. There is a difference.
You know what? No. We're gonna modify Wheaton's Law, because this is not a family show. Don't be a fucking asshole.
And that's it for this week. If you like what we do, please give us a like, follow, rating, all that nonsense on your favorite podcatcher.
You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi. You can find those and our social media platforms and Discord server in the show notes. And I actually said it this week.
You did. I'm so proud of you.
Last, but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
Random Warrior, Rain, and the perpetually banned Athan Mortis.
You're banned again.
You know what you did.